Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Build Ford Tough studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Barring something going wrong today at Florham Park, the Jets are going to offer Aaron Glenn the head coaching job, according to Ian Rappaport and Lance Newmark, who used to work with the Lions and spent a year as the Commanders' assistant GM, is going to be the general manager of the New York Jets.
So, you know, what's interesting about him being the Commanders' assistant GM, you remember when the Commanders changed hands from Dan Snyder to Josh Harris?
Yeah.
And they went out and they did an extensive search and they got Adam Peters. And they also asked, what was the guy that was running the Warriors? They asked him to get involved.
Bob Myers.
Bob Myers got involved, and they really put together what they thought was this all-star front office of guys that really knew the sport and understood what they were doing. And they took him from the 49ers. Adam Peters came from the 49ers. So, you know, quite frankly, this guy, Newmark, if that's who it is a guy that is coming from a place that, or a couple places that has been successful. You know, I'm like, he knows what's going on. I mean, I don't know anything about him at all. So maybe that's a good thing. I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, I don't know. We'll never really know. It's just I did not want to see a first-time general manager and a first-time head coach with the Jets again. Let's go to Mike in Brooklyn. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing? Huge fan forever. Boomer, I just want to say, first off, you are an inspiration as a father. Everything you do with both your kids. I'm a young dad, but yeah. So in terms of Aaron Glenn, I just think the Jets are doing a very Jet thing in terms of just like rushing this decision. I think it's a safe bet to pick Aaron Glenn. He said the Jets are his first choice. And instead of like doing what the right thing would be, is like, you know, take their time. They're just getting somebody who they know will be like somewhat respected as a decision.
Yeah. I mean, I certainly don't think that they're rushing it, Mike, because this has gone on. I mean, they interviewed 100 people and this doesn't seem to me like they are panicking to go and get a head coach. I think they really like Aaron Glenn. They went through all the process. I don't know why they didn't talk to a couple guys that we mentioned before, but this doesn't feel like a rush job to you, Boomer, does it?
No, because they had to wait until the Lions season was over. I think that they may have settled on him a couple weeks ago after talking to him and Zooming with him and everybody within the 33rd team probably singing his virtues because of his ties to Bill Parcells and the success there. So I would think that maybe he was their first choice, but they were going through all the other interviews just in case that it didn't work out. And now that Aaron's season is over, he now becomes available just like Ben Johnson did yesterday. So it feels to me like they had already made their decision. They just wanted to make sure that they saw him in person. And as soon as this season was over, they were gonna, you know, they were gonna hire him.
Let's go to Adam in New Jersey. What's going on, Adam?
Hey, Geo, Boomer. Good morning, guys.
What's up, Adam? What's happening?
Listen. All respect, seriously, both of you guys and Geo. You know, especially you here though, because you seem very passionate about this. You want the Jets to go through these retreads again, like Pete Carroll. He's older than Joe Biden right now. All right, he's like 83 years old, whatever his age is. I don't know how old he is. He's getting there. You want Matt Nagy, who was horrible in Chicago.
All right, do you know his record overall in Chicago?
It was a winning record, and the Jets haven't had a winning coach for,
all right,
I don't know.
So how could it be horrible then? I mean, he went 13-3 one season, didn't he?
12-4.
8-8. So how's that horrible?
Because he's allotted for his offensive. He's got Patrick Mahomes right now.
Okay, like, well,
I mean,
yeah, he dealt with Mitch Trubisky there, and they still ended up going to the playoffs.
And Justin Fields, for that matter.
Yeah,
Well, Justin Fields essentially got him fired, but yeah.
Yeah.
That is true. But then also you want these other guys. Like, who's the other guy you mentioned?
Brian Flores.
Brian Flores, who was hated by his players, went through three offensive coordinators in 3 years, I think. I'm not 100% on that, Boomer. I think you know about that. I mean, they did this with Adam Gase, and you just gloss over that, and that was horrible. They're going to bring another Dolphins coach.
Yeah, I think that Brian Flores learned a lot from everything that happened in Miami. What I know, they absolutely love him in Minnesota and would be just gutted if he ended up leaving there. So I think he's a different guy.
And plus, Brian Flores is from here.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Brooklyn guy, so it's not like he doesn't know what he would be stepping into. Look, all I can tell you is if they go down this Aaron Glenn path, you just got to hope that they've hit, that they finally hit, and he's the right guy, and that they get a couple breaks in the draft. And the other thing, too, is I'm sure that, with all the chatter that was coming out of the Jet locker room at the end of the season about, not wanting to be here, possibly being traded from Garrett Wilson to Sauce Gardner to this to that one, all of these guys maybe will connect with Aaron, and maybe Aaron will get the best out of them. That's something, that you got to take into account. It looked like, from all the snippets of Hard Knocks and everything else, watching Aaron in front of his defensive team as the defense coordinator, he connected with those players. Now, unfortunately, it was just a horrendous performance this past weekend against the Commanders, and they had no answers. And I think he was trying to intimidate Jaden Daniels with all the blitzing that he was doing, and Jaden Daniels was having none of it. Jaden Daniels knew exactly where to go with the ball every time the blitz was coming, and if he didn't know where to go with the ball, guess what? He took off because he was an incredible athlete. And when you watch him run, you can just see how much faster he was than the backup players that were playing for Detroit because of all the injuries. But, Jaden had guys wide open everywhere, and it was not a good look for the Detroit defense. And then when it was 4th-and-2 down inside the 5-yard line, they have 12 men on the field. That's a disorganization. This organization, I should say, that is just, it's not very becoming for the coordinator.
Yeah, and I just, for guys like Matt Nagy and Brian Flores, just the reason why I've talked about them, not that they had the greatest success where they were at, but they did have some success. You remember Brian Flores' first year, they were essentially trying to tank that year. There was no doubt about it. That team was awful. They got beat like the first couple weeks, like 55-3.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Brian Flores got the whole thing together and they became a respectable team at the end of the year. Now, it all fell apart when he wanted Justin Herbert and they drafted Tua instead and all of that. He is a really, really good coach. And the Minnesota Vikings didn't fall off the face of the earth because of his defense. There's no way. It was because of Sam Darnold and the way that he played, and then just the offense was not the same offense. So I just, a guy like that, and he's got a chip on his shoulder. He's a guy that you always talk about like how he looks on the sideline. Like, I just,
yeah, the perception
of
what he is,
and like, I'm not messing around. I'm going to turn this goddamn thing around. That's the feeling I get from him. And Nagy, yeah, of course he's got Patrick Mahomes, but Doug Peterson had Patrick Mahomes and he went to Philadelphia and he ended up winning a Super Bowl with Nick Foles. Now it's been a disaster since. But, like, it's not like...
Also, don't forget, Carson Wentz was a rookie quarterback. And they won with him as a young quarterback. And Carson Wentz was on his way to winning an NFL MVP until he got hurt against the Rams.
Yeah, right. And by the way, the Bears haven't had... Like, the Bears, after firing Matt Nagy, have been a disaster. Like, they haven't done anything since then. And now they're on to another head coach.
Yes.
So, like, you want to tell me Matt Eberflus was a disaster? Fine. You can't tell me that Matt Nagy was a disaster with the Bears.
So, I think Matt Eberflus is going to be one of those guys that's going to get a job as a defense coordinator because he's highly respected on that side of the ball. And sometimes a little bit easier to be that coordinator like Dennis Allen will be for Ben Johnson up in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, you love that. When a guy who was a former head coach doesn't work out where he was and then goes back to being a coordinator. Rob Saleh might get that with the San Francisco 49ers, or he may end up coaching the Jacksonville Jaguars because apparently there's some momentum there. Ron in Tom's River. What's going on, Ron?
What's going on, guys? How's everyone doing today?
Good. What's up, man?
I just wanted your take on, did you guys hear about Kurt Warner yesterday, about what he said about the field conditions and the weather, about football in general, or no?
No, I did not hear what he said.
This freaking guy went on to say on his radio show that he'd rather be seeing everybody play on neutral field positions just because he wants the quote-unquote best out of every player. And he said something about the field goals being missed. He's like, do you really want to see a field goal being missed in the playoffs and, you know, all that stuff? Just a wuss take by him. And I know why he did it, because he fumbled all the time and he couldn't take the big games. I know he won a Super Bowl, but the freaking guy, man,
yeah,
he rubbed me the wrong way. I mean, I just wanted your take on it.
Nah, you know what? Kurt's a great guy. And, the reason I think he feels that way is because the greatest show on turf was indoors out there in St. Louis when he was quarterback. And then when he had his next level of success, it was with the Arizona Cardinals. That was indoors. So, you know, he liked playing indoors. I personally loved playing outdoors. I hated playing indoors. I never played in a dome stadium for the home team that I played with. I always played outdoors.
Yeah.
And that was including Arizona, because in Arizona, when I was there, we were still playing at Arizona State.
Yeah, I don't really understand the take of when people say, you know, I don't want to see the extreme weather conditions determine the outcome of the game. Okay, well, both teams are playing in the same conditions. And if you are the home team, you earned that home game.
I love it.
And
you
earn that ability to play in potentially bad weather outside.
Yeah, I love the snow. I love dealing with the elements. That's part of the game. That's part of the whole mindset of a team and a coach is always overcoming adversity. That's adverse conditions. It makes it tough. And that's what I like about it. I like everything that's tough is worth the effort, because if you do win under those conditions, like if you're the Eagles and you win, it is just, it's an amazing feeling, because, you know, it's your home fans, it's the weather, you're playing against the Hall of Fame quarterback, and somehow your team wins the game. That's great. Same thing with Buffalo this past weekend.
Yeah, I know that the weather is going to be relatively mild in Kansas City.
Oh, man, I can't believe that. That's soft.
Yeah.
I mean, that means, you know, Matt Ryan gets a nice day. Coach Cowher gets a nice day. Nate can wear his red jacket.
Yeah.
Come on.
So Sunday in Philadelphia will be a high of 34, a low of 27. Sunny. And low wind. So be good weather for both these games, it looks like. So no one's going to be losing their fingers and toes in Kansas City or Philadelphia this year.
Good. Well, that's a good thing. But, man, I that's what football's all about, man. It's what, you know, that's why you got to be able to run the ball at this time of year.
Well, yeah, and also get home field advantage if you can.
The fact that there's no dome until we get to the Super Bowl, I think, is a great thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at least here in this particular
Kansas
situation.
Kansas City and Philadelphia outside, yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, and you would have had Detroit if they would have won, have the NFC Championship game inside, but yeah, that did not happen.
I wanted the Fox guys to have to go outside. I'm just thinking about the pregame shows, sitting out there freezing their asses off, kind of like the NBC guys have been doing.
Yeah. Maybe you got the norovirus from a porta-potty in Kansas City. Remember that?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
I'm telling you, that was right before COVID hit.
Yeah.
Because we traveled to Miami that February, and you guys had the KN95 masks that we gave you so you could travel with me.
Yeah, with you, not thinking about, we didn't do it because it was because of COVID. We did it because of your stomach virus.
If you remember, Gunner called in.
Yeah, I remember. Why'd you say it like that?
Because, a little annoying.
Who's annoying? What?
Well, I mean, just your take on it.
What was my take on
it? Well, if you remember, Gunner called in. And we asked him about what was going on in Seattle and what was going on. And remember, he said the KN95 mask.
But we did wear the masks.
I know he did. And then he said, you know, if the CDC gets involved, then buckle up because things are going to come.
Sure.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I wasn't challenging your take. I was just saying we actually wore the mask because we didn't want to get your stomach virus at the time, because COVID had not technically been in New York at that point or Miami.
Right, it was in Seattle.
Yeah, so it was just a little bit after.
Yeah, I remember that. We had the photo. I'm sure that Stephen Waldron is efforting the photo as we speak. Right, Stephen?
That was a fun flight.
Yeah, we're looking. It's an old one.
Yeah, it's an old one.
Okay.
Yeah, we were over there at Teterboro. A lot of excuses. Had masks on.
A lot of excuses out of Stephen Waldron. You know, working on it's an old one. Okay.
Yeah, it's 2020. It's not that old.
I mean, does it take longer to find the older stuff? Like,
that was January. That was late January of 2020.
Right. I mean, this isn't like real clutter. This is digital stuff, you know?
I bet you it's on one of our phones.
Yeah. Maybe. But if you just picture all of us standing in an airport with masks on, and then you got the photo, just like that.
Right.
All right, it is
right.
Boomer and Geo.
Right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
We are getting to that time of year where we have the fond memories of Walker Hayes blowing everybody's eardrums out at the halftime report of the AFC Championship game when you guys were sitting at the desk and trying to speak.
Every time I see a pregame show, a halftime show at one of these games, this is all I think about.
Yeah.
And how everybody else didn't have to deal with that.
Oh, it was so funny. It was just, and you guys handled it perfectly. It was just great. It was one of the funnier clips ever.
I could not hear a goddamn word anybody was saying. And I was trying to read Coach Cower's lips. Coach, I have no idea what you just said, but I'm sure it was a good point.
And just seeing the visual of the giant speaker right behind you guys.
What jackass decided to do that?
How did that compare to the loudest road environment you played in as far as being in the huddle trying to call the play?
You know, and by the way, when I was playing early on, that was a big deal in the NFL.
Crowd noise?
Was crowd noise on the road.
Yeah.
It was a huge deal. And I would say that either the Astrodome or the Kingdome or probably even the Metrodome.
Well, the Metrodome, they got in trouble because they were hiding speakers
that
behind the visitors' bench.
Piping it in.
Yeah. It's crazy.
I mean, when you played against Chris Dolman there and they had that noise going, I mean, it was just impossible to stop him.
Such a weird building that was because, the roof and the whole thing, and you'd go out of the revolving doors and you'd, spit out with the
Because
the
it was was held up by air.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was like the dome in Indianapolis.
Just a bizarre experience going to games there.
And by the way, outdoor-wise, I would say Buffalo.
But nothing to that extent where you had those speakers blasting.
Never.
Nothing like that. I mean, right, music versus crowd is different,
right,
obviously.
Denver was another tough spot because Denver, we had a ball got snapped to me and I thought I saw it go past me because I wasn't ready for it. We're driving to win the game. And I'm sending my wide receiver in motion by pointing at him because he couldn't hear me or anything. So I'm pointing at him, and then all of a sudden I go like this, and I think I just saw the ball go behind me, and then I realized that everybody was moving. I'm
God.
Oh, crap. So that was a screw-up. And then the next week, we invented the actual lifting of the heel to snap the ball silent count on the road.
You invented that. Nice.
Great timing, guys, on CBS Sports Network. You put up the picture of the masks. So awesome.
So that is January what? 2020.
19th.
What?
January 19th of 2020.
Of 2020. There you are. Yep.
Awesome.
Right pre-pandemic, we were like trendsetters.
Yeah, we really were.
January 28th, 2020.
Yeah. Look at that. N95 masks.
Little did we know that would be our lives.
Look at little Al kind of putting his head on my shoulder there.
Yeah, he does have a little...
lean towards my shoulder.
Yeah, he does.
What a group of specimens there, man. I tell you.
Boomer dwarfing the other four.
Watch out. Here we come.
Yes.
It's intimidating. It's like when you said the Ravens get off the bus and they're bigger than everybody. It's sort of like this.
Yeah.
You know, oh man, these guys mean business.
You know, I'm looking at my feet, and I love those shoes. I don't know what I did with those.
You weren't wearing a mask because you were the one that was sick, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what Eddie was asking. But yeah, I know. I was looking at my shoes too. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, I wonder where those things went. It's only 5 years ago, right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh God, that's 5 years ago.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, where's the time go?
Sabrina was two.
Yeah. She was.
She was going to be too.
I didn't even have summer yet. I don't know where. It's just nuts. Mm-hmm. It really is true how, the older you get, the faster the time goes.
Especially when you have kids.
Indeed, CeeLo.
They say that the days are long, but the years are short.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, a fortune cookie actually told me that once.
Yeah. Confucius.
Look at you, Confucius.
Confucius.
CeeLo.
My dad got one time, not Confucius, fortune cookie. It just said, you're what's left. Thought that was one of the great things in a fortune cookie of all time.
Do you ever get the fortune cookies that are just, they say mean things in them?
Well, I thought "you're what's left" is kind of a mean one.
Yeah. But that's not as bad.
It's not a great fortune.
You're what's
you're
left.
What's
I don't
left.
Know, because it's sort of like, you. You're always going to be, you're the only thing that's going to be with you forever.
I suppose that's one way to look at it.
Yeah. I cracked one up and said my future at WFAN is very much up in the air once. And I said, this was meant for CeeLo's.
That's where I got it from.
No, I actually, these restaurants, sometimes they think that they're funny and they do these like mean fortune cookie ones. And one I cracked, I didn't realize it at first. I cracked it open. It said, you're going to die broken alone. And I was like, oh, what a great dinner. Thank you, guys.
Oh, boy.
All right, CeeLo, what do you got, man?
Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. Also brought to you by Dr. Jay Shaw at Samwell Institute for Pain Management. Visit samwellpain.com. So pretty easy to read the tea leaves right now. Monday after the Lions get eliminated from the playoffs, Ben Johnson lands in Chicago as the new Bears head coach. And today the Jets will have Aaron Glenn in for his second interview. Ian Rappaport says the plan is to not let him leave the building before making him the team's next head coach. All the interviews they've done, all the candidates, he is the only one currently scheduled for a second interview. And the same goes for Lance Newmark on the GM side. He spent 26 seasons in Detroit before joining Washington last year and is said to have a strong relationship with Glenn. Another Glenn clip for you here. Same sit down that I pulled from last hour. It's actually 2 years ago. This was the Pivot podcast. And here was Glenn explaining his opinion and philosophy for dealing with and relating to his guys.
The players have to be able to sit down and talk to you and have a conversation. Man, there are so many players I'll talk to this day. Said, man, I've never had a chance to just sit and talk with a coach. I've never had a chance to have interaction and confrontation with a coach. It's almost like I got to shut up. And I said, no, man, tell me exactly what your issues are, right? And we could talk about it.
I like that he included confrontation there. Interaction and confrontation. Like, I'm not going to coddle you. We're not going to pull you Mickey Callaway. And we're going to just love everybody. Like, we talk about it, but we'll keep it real. That's what it feels like.
Think Aaron Glenn's going to want Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback?
Al asked me that. I said, I think, and this is total just a guess, of all the guys, because of his background as a defensive guy, I don't know who he's bringing as offensive coordinator. He says the chances or the odds that Rodgers could be back. What do you think?
If he wants to win, then that's the way you got to look.
I think when he gets in there, first of all, we have to figure out if Rodgers wants to play again. But I think when he gets in there and he looks at all of the options and all of the things that are out there, it'll probably say, I don't love it, but I want to get off on a little bit of a right foot and I don't want some total schlub in there. So let's give this a shot.
The only thing that just makes me a little bit reticent about that would be a first-time head coach dealing with a, you know, the enigma himself, Aaron Rodgers, and the storylines that come with him and how that just dwarfs who the head coach is, unless that head coach is that alpha male.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it like that, or you could also look at it that he should be able to help a first-time head coach because he's been through every single goddamn thing there's been to go through in the NFL.
What about the Woody factor? I know he said publicly, like, it's not, you know, I'll leave it up to the new coach and GM, but... like, if that relationship is as icy as was reported.
But then again, as icy as it is with Woody, it's as warm with Christopher. Christopher Johnson loves that guy.
I know, but who's pulling the strings here? Who's making a call? Well, now that Woody's not going overseas anymore.
I don't know. Well, when we have the press conference on Thursday, I'm sure they're going to ask a lot of those questions.
It's kind of interesting. So Woody was down at the inauguration yesterday. So he obviously is flying back. I'm assuming he's flying back today to meet with Aaron Glenn and hopefully sign him.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they want to do. Man, if he walks out of there, it's like, no thanks. Thanks, but no thanks. Goes to the Saints.
Not if the reported GM is coming, then it's already a done deal. That's the way I feel about it.
Your buddy Lance Newmark?
Yeah, I mean, it's they have the connections. They know each other, and obviously Tannenbaum and his group are putting them together and telling Woody this is going to work, and Woody obviously has a connection or made a connection with Aaron Glenn. Yeah, it seems like it's a done deal.
You have any friends named Lance?
Yes.
You do?
I do.
I do not. CeeLo?
Friend, no. Co-worker at times, yes.
See, I don't know any Lances.
We just mentioned about the newsroom,
actually. Oh, that Lance Meadow. Yeah. I don't really know him, though.
I don't know him well, but I've worked with him.
Well, why are you? Just because of Lance Newmark?
Yeah. I just saw that name. I'm like, I don't know a lot of Lances.
Not that common. Yeah.
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 How many Lances are out there these days? It's a dying name. You know,
Armstrong.
Yeah, it's a big one. Who's the most famous Lance?
Armstrong.
It's got to be Lance Armstrong, right?
Nothing else comes to mind.
I'm sure I have not really thought about that. Well, and I wasn't thinking that we were going to be talking about that.
I Googled it. I found the bigger one, I think.
Really?
Uh-oh.
Lance Bass.
Okay. I don't know that I'd put him above Lance Armstrong, but he's in the running.
What did you do? Google top 10 Lances?
Most famous Lance.
Got Lance Allworth, former Lance NFL.
Yeah. See, I still think Armstrong's bigger than, he was all everywhere with the controversy and everything.
He was, yeah.
Yeah. See, not a lot of famous Lances.
Anybody else?
I don't know who decides on this list here, but they've got Lance Armstrong number one, Lance Bass number four, Lance Berkman.
Yeah, Lance Berkman.
Forgot about Lance Berkman.
Someone thought about this and put together a list of the most famous Lances.
Lance a lot.
That doesn't count. Come on, Eddie.
Come on.
God's
Lance Hendrickson, I don't know who that is. Fame meter.
He's an actor. I should have thought of that one. He's
Lance
an alien.
Lance Storm, wrestler, it looks like.
Oh, here's one. A former MLB-er, Lance Parrish.
I was going to die if he said Lance Berkman.
Yeah, I know.
I thought he was going to. Former MLB-er. Yeah. You might have heard of him. Lance Berkman.
You know something about Lansing, Seal? You had that pus ball on you.
Sure did.
But
that's right.
It lands that thing.
Pilofix.com, baby. Dr. Samuel Rafailov.
There you go.
Go get it fixed. Get it checked
out. I found
another
one. Judge Ito was Lance Ito.
Very good, Al. I like
He's a top five for me in the Lance department. Without a doubt.
That's very good.
Well, hopefully Lance Newmark works his way up the
really
list.
I never really thought about not knowing that many Lances.
Well, yeah, I was just looking at the name, and I was like, man, like Lance. It's an interesting one, you know? Yeah. Like Aaron, Glenn, you see, but I'm looking at him reading through Lance Newmark's thing. I'm like, I don't even know a Lance.
Mm.
A single Lance in my life.
Just like we wouldn't know any other Borgonzis.
Borgonzi! Bro.
That's too bad.
Borgonzi.
He's on his way to Tennessee.
Mike Borgonzi, Joe Beningo here.
Give me your cell phone number.
Yeah, right. Can I text you?
All right, let me circle back to a clip Jerry played for you guys yesterday. There's a reason for it. That was Ravens head coach John Harbaugh post-game Sunday talking Mark Andrews and dealing with the aftermath of his fumble and, of course, the dropped pass on what would have been the game-tying two-point conversion against the Bills.
Destiny is a decision that you make, and it's a decision is how you handle, you know, what comes in your life, you know, and Mark will handle it fantastic, like he always does, because he's a high character person. He's a tough person.
The problem is he did not face the music post game Sunday, and apparently the Ravens locker room was open for an hour yesterday for the media to come in and talk to the players, and he did not show his face. So I know some people, who cares, what does he owe the media? But there's the other side that feels, well, that's the conduit to the fans. And you got to come out and take accountability. The quarterback stood and answered the questions.
I think you have to. I mean, he's been a stand-up guy his entire career. He's been a great guy. Obviously, this is killing him. But it is part of the job, especially when the salaries are what they are right now. And as Boomer said, you know, I was about to say Lance Jackson. Swear to God. Lamar Jackson. The way he stood up and spoke after the game, Boomer said, that's a leader. So, it's a bit of a bad look.
Lamar took it all on his own shoulders, and I appreciate that more than anything. And, you know, he stuck up for his teammate like he should have, but he also talked about his own mistakes that he made.
Mm-hmm.
That's what your quarterback should do. Exactly.
How would Aaron Rodgers have handled that?
He would have said that, listen, that drop was horrible in my career. You know, he should have been on the red line. On the red line.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, that's just a fact.
He wasn't on the red line.
Yeah. And if he was on the red line, then maybe, wasn't where he was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what they say. You know, either where you're supposed to be or you're not.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go. College football national championship game from Atlanta last night. Ohio State opened up a 31-7 second half lead over Notre Dame after the Fighting Irish took the opening possession 18 plays, 75 yards for a touchdown. So they went dry for a while after that, but eventually got within 8 with about 4 minutes to go. But prior to that drive, they got down into the red zone. They had a 4th and goal from the 9 with about 9.5 minutes left. Marcus Freeman decided to kick, and Sean McDonough was not having any of it on ESPN Radio.
27-yard try for Mitch Jeter. And it's not a fake. And he hit the left upright. It's no good. It ricochets off the upright. And the Ohio State players trying to run it back. But the whistle stopped the play. And I think that's what you get when you go against character. What good is the field goal going to do?
So he's calling out Freeman's decision.
That was shocking
there.
That they decided to go for the field goal there. Yeah. I couldn't understand that for the life of me. Obviously, it ended up not working out, but yeah, just weird. You're in that situation. You're down. You're getting the snot kicked out of you.
You got to go for it.
God, it's weird.
Well, they lose 34-23. That is Notre Dame. And here was Marcus Freeman afterwards on making that decision.
I know it's still a two-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it. But I just felt 4th and 9 was not a great chance for us to make that.
And obviously, it backfired for them, and it ends up with the Buckeyes winning their first national title since 2014. Jeremiah Smith in the middle of it, 5 catches, 88 yards, and an early touchdown. Also had what was essentially the game-sealing catch late, which led to the tack-on field goal for the Buckeyes to put it out of reach. Ohio State product Kirk Herbstreit on the TV call for ESPN, and Scott Van Pelt in the aftermath kicked it back to him for the first word.
Herbie, I'll let you start as a guy grew up there and wore the uniform. What's the story of this team?
Oh, don't start with me, man. I'm a little emotional. I'm just fired up for these guys.
So he admits the emotion in one breath, and then he's trying to convince us that he's not biased while essentially holding back tears.
You know, when I call these games, I'm incredibly objective, and I love all these Ohio State teams, but this team, because of what they went through, to get to this point,
oh,
you're just happy.
You know? I mean, listen, you're just happy. You want to know a team that went through something? Mm-hmm. The University of Maryland team went through something. That's a team that went through. This team is loaded. They basically spent $20 million on their roster. They were supposed to be here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you did just credit them last hour for overcoming the Michigan loss.
But yeah, I did that. But you know, and I'm happy for Ryan Day. But you know, because I think sometimes college football fans could be a little bit unrealistic or a lot unrealistic, but. This team did go through anything. Christ.
Oh, for them,
this team was loaded. This team was expected to be here. This is one of the best rosters the NCAA has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It really is amazing. Kirk Herbstreit's been in that business for that long, and he's still crying when his alma mater wins.
That's what I'm talking about. I would not be crying if Maryland won.
I mean, that's just...
I'd be drunk and I'd be celebrating.
Well, you wouldn't be drunk if you were the game analyst on ESPN.
I'd be at Bentley's. Let's go.
Yeah, but if you were the game analyst, you certainly wouldn't be crying either.
It would be even more of a miracle. Man, what this school has gone through for the last 30 years. Oh, my God, that we finally got here.
MLK matinee at the Garden. The Knicks beat the Hawks 119-110. Jalen Brunson went for 34 points on 12 of 18 shooting. What was the phrase you guys used last week? Make or miss league?
Yeah, it's a make or miss league.
Make or miss league. All right, well, you had Tom Thibodeau afterwards kind of essentially saying that, talking about, hey, some nights it goes your way, some days it doesn't, but you got to keep moving forward.
Sometimes you're going to miss shots. You know, if they're good shots and he misses, I just want him to keep shooting and take good shots. The game tells you what to do. So if you're open, you shoot.
And if not, you find the open man and then, no, you don't like that?
No, I understand what he's saying, but the game is not much. I mean, our team is a good team now. And it will come down to May and June, but it's just, the game is just impossible
to watch. The
product. Yeah. Yeah.
They didn't chuck a lot of threes. They were, I think, 9 of 26, which is actually low for today's NBA. It's like not a lot of attempts, but worked out okay for them. They get the win against Trae Young and company. They turn around. They go to Barclays Center tonight. They'll play the Nets. We got coverage here on The Fan at 7:20. The Islanders beat Columbus at UBS Arena 3-1, which is good news for the Rangers. Their Blue Jackets are one of the teams that they're facing in the wild card race. They'll face another tonight in Ottawa, and Rutgers did lose at Penn State last night 80-72.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on The Fan and CBS Sports Network. So we got some news over the weekend that was shocking, quite frankly. And some people still don't believe it and don't think that it is real. CeeLo outside, when I was talking to him about it, goes, well, that's not real. I said, no, it is. It is real. It is 100% a true story. It is a real story. And that is our own Peter Schwartz is going to be the general manager of a new arena football team scheduled to play at Nassau Coliseum this year.
Are they going to be the Dragons again?
I don't know. I've got a lot of questions for Peter. I don't think Peter is awake right now. So.
Okay.
Takiya.
So I texted him. We'll try to have him on before the end of the show today, but wanted to just get that out, all of these things out there before we talk to Peter and questions we're going to have for him. But
well, good for Peter.
Yeah. It's a new league, ENTFLA. And Andre Reed is the former Bills wide receiver Hall of Famer. Andre Reed is the commissioner.
ENTFLA?
Yeah.
That's the name of the league?
ENTFLA.
Yeah, I mean,
they call it ENTFLA.
Well, ENTFLA is a little, that's a little much, don't you think?
Of course it is, yes.
So there, I guess they couldn't use the AFL.
No, can't do that.
So it is arena indoor football. And where's this team playing?
Nassau Coliseum.
Is that thing staying up, or are they going to blow it up?
Well, as of right now, it's up. And
okay.
They're planning on playing. And I think they're planning on playing in June, I think.
So this year, that first season of the ENTFLA.
The ENTFLA, that's right.
What does ENTFLA stand for?
Yeah, I think I have no idea.
It seems like you're all over this.
Well, yeah, but I don't know what ENTFLA.
Did they have a website?
Well, you can check if you'd like. ENTFLA?
I didn't bring it up.
Yeah, I understand, but you're asking all these questions.
Well, I'm asking some questions because you brought it up. Like you said, you had a lot of questions for Peter Schwartz. I got a lot of questions for you.
Yeah, well, I don't have the answers.
So he is now going to become the GM?
There is no ENTFLA.com, by the way. All right, so there's going to be teams that are from Morristown, New Jersey. So maybe CeeLo could be the GM, Morristown, New Jersey. Danbury, Connecticut. Pittsburgh, Massachusetts. And Long Island's team that Peter Schwartz is.
All right, so it's a four-team league.
Yeah, four-team league. And he did send some details to
us. Where are they getting the players from?
I can tell you what ENTFLA is.
Okay.
Is Entertainment Football Association. So it's ENT is entertainment. FLA.
FLA is football?
Football Association, yeah. ENTFLA.
Wait a minute. Football Association? So the L does really is a part of football?
The L is part of the...
It's the end of football.
Why don't they just call it... So it's Entertainment Football League?
Association? What is it? Entertainment Football Association.
So why don't they just call it the EFA?
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
The EFA.
Not off to a good start.
No, but so let's see. Peter did send some details.
And also, when I hear entertainment, I'm thinking for gays.
Now, when I hear entertainment, I think Peter Schwartz.
Also true, yes.
All right, so there's a New York-based owner. His name is Doug Freeman. He owns all four teams.
Okay.
Peter Schwartz will not be picking the players. He will be hiring the coach. And the idea is to recruit local players, so it's a community team. So I have an idea who the long snapper is going to be. Yeah. So it is a big job for him. I don't know. Like, I don't have the qualifications to be a general manager of a football team.
It's like a new leaf on life.
But apparently Peter Schwartz does.
There it is. ENTFLA.
So I need to know, is it a full-time job? Does he have an office? Does he need to show up in a suit? Like, what? And how does this even come about?
Does he also have to work the concession stand while doing play-by-play?
I think there's a good chance that he's doing this for free.
Do you think they came to him, like, you know who we need to talk to, Peter Schwartz? Or did he see it on, like, Indeed.com and...
Well, he is obsessed with arena football.
All right, hold on. I'm reading this from the Long Island Press.
Okay.
A new professional football team will be coming to Long Island and playing at the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum. The Entertainment Football Association announced January 15th that it will be bringing a team to Uniondale. The league held a press conference at the Coliseum to unveil the new team to the public. Founder Douglas Freeman, Commissioner... and NFL Hall of Famer Andre Reed, Chief Operating Officer William Rolak, Long Island Team Advisor Peter Schwartz, League Advisor Tommy Benizio, and Lisa Giamo all spoke about the new team and their excitement to have ENTFLA part of the Long Island community.
Large clunk of people?
Got a large clunk of people, yes.
Yeah. So he was an advisor there. He wasn't a general manager there.
But I guess he's now a general manager.
So to answer your question, Al, I think that they came. I mean, they did not come to him. He probably had his ear to the ground. The best time in Peter's life, he has talked about this, the best time of his life was when he was doing play-by-play for the Long Island Dragons. And he was obsessed with that. He misses that. And when he probably heard there was a new arena team coming, he was like, I got to be a part of this thing. I'll do anything to be a part of this thing. And now he's a part of this thing.
Wasn't Sid his, like, color commentator?
I don't know.
Yeah, but we're so excited about the Entertainment Football Association coming here to Nassau County. That is Nassau County Executive Bruce Blakeman said that. He then proceeded to throw a football to Andre Reed, who spent 16 years in the NFL.
All right.
Now, interestingly enough, Andre lives out in San Diego.
Okay.
And he's going to be the commissioner of a four-team league that's going to be on the East Coast.
Well, maybe he moves out here during the season. It's June, better weather out here.
Yeah.
Why not?
I'll tell you what, Bob in Tom's River has got a great idea.
Okay. What's up, Bob?
Gentlemen, how you doing this morning?
All right, Bob.
All right. Hey, I got a question. Are we going to be seeing Peter Schwartz on Hard Knocks next year?
I think that would be awesome.
Man,
wouldn't that be great?
It certainly would be. If they were smart, they would film all of that stuff, like putting the team together, put a documentary together, so it would be like, you know, some Netflix special to get people interested in the players and the people. But yeah, watching Peter Schwartz work behind the scenes and putting this football team together would be something that it'd be must-see TV.
You know, here's Rob in Danbury, Connecticut, one of the hometowns of one of the new teams. Rob, what's happening?
Gentlemen, good morning, and thank you for taking the call. I have two things that we definitely need to get to the bottom of in this Peter Schwartz Fugazi Football League thing. So first and foremost, and I'm sure he has, but we need to find out definitively, has Peter asked Andre Reed for anything free yet? And then second, Gio had mentioned that Bradley Schwartz, long snapper, will probably be the front runner for that position. But what we need to find out is, because Bradley Schwartz goes to college here in Danbury, will he be part of the Danbury organization or part of the Long Island organization? Big get to get there, Gio.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge get, and I think that somebody's probably going to have to trade up in the draft to go and get Bradley.
Our first NFLA controversy.
Yeah. I mean, I would think, to me, you know, the nepotism there of him getting drafted to the Long Island team, I don't think you know, Peter can't pick his kid. I don't think you could do that.
Yeah, but the coach is going to pick the kid, and Peter may say to the coach, if you want to be the coach, you got to pick my kid.
Well,
you know how that works.
Yeah, but I mean, I would also say, like, you know, Danbury would be a nice little place for him. He's got college there, whatever.
They got the county executive involved. This is a real deal.
I know it's a real deal.
You know, who's that lunatic that bought the Islanders way back when? I remember the guy that was like a Fugazi guy.
I don't.
No, it wasn't Charles Wong. Wong actually saved the franchise.
They did the 30 for 30 on it.
Yeah, what the hell was his name? John, I feel like it was John something. I know all the Islander fans out there know.
John exactly. Spano.
Yeah, there you go. Spanos, right. That's right. Hopefully that's not one of these. I don't think it is. But they got the county executive roped in to talking about getting an arena football league team at the Coliseum.
Like,
and what about that Sands project? You know, are they still coming in? Where are these downstate licenses going?
They're not
going
to get one there. They're just not.
You don't think so?
No.
It sounds like they are.
I don't. Really?
I mean,
they're not going to put one in Queens and one in Nassau County.
Well, they'll put one in Queens and one in Westchester. They're like 10 miles away from each other.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like Queens and Nassau County is just...
I kind of feel like if they do this to Hudson Yards, they're going to ruin Hudson Yards.
Yeah, anyway, how is anybody going to make money on this thing? Honestly.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, how do you make... Like, this is an idea hatched from what? Like, none of these leagues ever work out. None of them. They all fall apart.
I mean, you are Mr. Pessimistic this morning.
You think this thing is going to... Well, time out. You think this is going to work? I just asked you, how's it going to make money? You go, I don't know.
I don't see how it's going to work. I saw the indoor lacrosse team.